Joy to be back with you folks this morning. Seems like it's been a while. Certainly a lot of water has passed under the bridge since I was last here, and some dangerous water at that. First of all, I want to really thank all of you for undergirding us in prayer and fellowship. It has been invaluable, and certainly as you hear about how God delivered in a dangerous situation in Congo, you'll understand more our appreciation. We went over, there were three of us, two other men and myself, we went over on the 19th of February, and we returned on the 12th of March. On the 6th of March, we got caught in a fierce firefight in the middle of Bunia in the DR Congo as the Ugandan troops came to overthrow the whole town. And we were caught, we were one street off the main street right downtown, and it broke loose. And it broke loose at 6 in the morning. We were woken up to shelling and gunfire, and it continued the whole day and part of the night. And the next day we were supposed to fly out, and no plane was coming to rescue us. You have to wait till tonight to hear what happened. Come back and see the PowerPoint presentation of what happened. But just to give you a taste of what it was like so that you can share it, I'll just play a recording. I took this with me while I was there. Of recording of this. It was like a Chinese New Year's going on for the whole day. And it would come closer and far away. There was tanks, there was artillery, rocket-propelled grenades, mortars. It was just unbelievable. But God had us in the palm of his hand and protected us, and the prayers of the saints really delivered us. And so I just want to thank you so much. Well, this morning, if you would, open with me to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. And I would like to look at a lengthy passage here. Really want to focus in on authority, on the topic of authority. I think that the trip really caused me to think about this a lot as I saw warring factions trying to seize power and exercise their authority over the area. And so I want to read out of chapter 21 of Matthew, starting at verse 10 and reading on down. This is at the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. It says, when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the multitudes were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple and cast out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared praise for thyself? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Now in the morning, when he returned to the city, he became hungry, and seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, no longer shall there be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. And seeing this, the disciples marveled, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen. And everything you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Verse 23. And when he had come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders and the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Authority. By what authority? There's always a question of authority going around, and I remember at the beginning of the onslaught in this country of the whole social reform and the attempt to take young people and change their attitudes, universities across this country, to freshmen, entering freshmen, would always write on the board, question authority. Question authority. Don't just accept authority. The question of authority always comes up every day. Who has the authority to do what? And you see it more clearly when you go overseas and there's battling factions. You see it very clearly in Iraq right now as they're trying to determine who has the authority to run Iraq after Saddam. Who has the authority? Congo suffered a lot. It had a change of authorities. It had the tribal chiefs, and then the Belgians came in back in 1876. They ruled it up until 1960. They were the power there. And then at independence, Kasavubu and Lumumba took over. And for only about four turbulent years, and then the dictator Mobutu took over. And he had it for 32 years. And then back 5 years ago, a rebel leader by the name of Laurent Kabila came and overthrew the dictatorship of Mobutu. And thus we started a very turbulent time of civil war, which has continued now to the present day. And even that leader was killed 2 years ago, and his son took over. But the question is authority. Jesus is coming onto the scene, raised questions of authority. And the people noticed him, and they started to ask questions. And there were several questions that were asked. The first one, as he entered into Jerusalem, and all this hoopla and all this noise of people hailing him and putting leaves down and clothing in front of him as he came, it just was astonishing. Like, wow, what charisma brings this out? Who is this, they asked. That was the first question. Who is this? Much like journalists ask that question. You know, at the Olympics, whenever we have the Olympics, there's new stars on the scene, and they always have, you know, the who is this, and they put on the upfront and personal little blip and tell you about the person. Well, people want to know. And, you know, you see the news people scramble when somebody like Osama bin Laden came on the scene. Who is this guy? They were digging for the information. They want to know because it impacts, the knowledge of the background impacts their authority. Most people think that you have to be a somebody to be an authority. And they wanted to know, who is he? Where is he from? Does he have family relations? What kind of connections? What's his curriculum vitae? What is this guy? They wanted to know everything about him. And the general answer that came is, the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Why was that significant? Well, a little bit of history would help us. Alexander the Great conquered a lot of the known world back in his day. Great man, and he died in 323 BC. His huge empire was divided up between his four generals, probably the strongest of which was Seleucid, and he started the Seleucid dynasty, which covered, which interestingly enough, all of Iraq, Iran, over into India, and then back all the way over to Lebanon. And at the beginning, he didn't control Palestine, but eventually he did. And when his dynasty eventually covered Palestine, he also seized Galilee. And when he had Galilee, he tried to exterminate the Jews. And during that period, there was an enormous exodus of Galileans and Jews out of Galilee, and they took refuge down in Judea. And it was out of Judea that eventually came the Maccabean revolt and the Maccabean attempt to overthrow the dictators that were the Seleucids and the whole dynasty there and to take possession of their land again. And it was under a very strong military leader, Alexander Yanai, that the Galilean families and the Maccabeans were able to overthrow their oppressors. And there was this migration of people back into Galilee. It seems that the forebears of David and, the descendants of David were a part of the families of Mary and Joseph that went up to Galilee. And those that went back were those that had thoughts of a messianic fulfillment of the Davidic kingdom being restored to Israel. It may very well be that that was in the thoughts of the families of Mary and Joseph, but when they mentioned Nazareth of Galilee, that was kind of a trigger description of nationalism, of those that wanted to overthrow the oppressors and those that had dominated them. And so when it says the prophet, Jesus of Nazareth of Galilee, it was saying, he's a liberator. This is one of the ones. And then they started mentioning, he's the son of David. This is the one qualified to bring back the Davidic kingdom and our rightful possession of our own land. So it meant a lot. Who is this? The second question that was asked is, by what authority? By what authority? The scribes, the Pharisees, the existing authorities at the time wanted to know, by what authority are you doing these things? Basically, what that question was, legitimize yourself. By what permit, certificate, authorization are you doing these things? Is there a statute, an article, or a decree that you can go back to and show us? Because most people don't do things without having some kind of permission. And here he was doing these things, and they were asking him, give us proof. Are you elected? Are you appointed? Are you chosen? What process was used to get you where you're at? It's funny, just yesterday I was reading in the newspaper, News and Observer, about a situation that the military in Iraq faced. And there was this a Shiite cleric in the city of Kut, apparently the third largest city in Iraq, and he had installed himself in the governor's mansion and put himself in and said he's the governor, and he started having all his cronies and friends come around. They were protecting him, and definitely not the guy that we wanted in there. And he had been a self-appointed, had his own authority, and the United States Marines had to go in and take this man and remove him. Well, he fled at the end, but they had to deal with all his supporters. They were questioning his authority, just like these men were questioning Jesus' authority. How was he doing these things? By what authority was he being hailed the king in the line of David? Here there was this huge public demonstration. Did he have a permit for the demonstration? By what authority was he driving out the commercializers and saying, it's my father's house? Did he have a deed showing this was his property? By what authority was he healing the blind and the lame? Did he have a medical degree? By what authority was he allowing children to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna? Propaganda. Did he have some kind of permit? By what authority did he make the fig tree shrivel? Did he have an agronomy degree? By what authority could he promise if a man asked anything in faith, he would receive it? Did he have ordination papers? Where was his degree? The theologian? They questioned his authority. The third thing that they asked is, who gave you this authority? Probably recognizing that he did not have any kind of credentials, any graduate degrees or anything else. Well, the other way that people get their authority is by relationships with people or potentates. In other words, there is nepotism and cronyism. There's party affiliation that kind of earns you a way in. And so they were saying, well, who got you into this? Who gave you this authority? By what special relationship with whom did you get to where you're at? They were so upset and so desiring to get answers that they interrupted. Verse 23 says that they interrupted. While he was teaching, they interrupted him and asked him what he was doing. You know, Jesus came on the scene in a totally different way from anybody else. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 21. In Mark chapter 1, verse 21, we see the debut of the Lord Jesus as he comes onto the scene. And here we see him coming and teaching. Mark chapter 1, verse 21-28. This is right after he had called disciples, and this is at the very beginning of the Lord's ministry. He's going public. And it says, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." And immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding districts of Galilee. He came with a difference. He came with a commanding authority that shook people up. They noticed the difference. They said, "Wow, his teaching is not like the scribes. The scribes is academic and kind of ritualistic. It's head knowledge. This man comes with something totally different. There's a spirit, a living truth coming out through this man." And they saw it. They respected it. They saw that he had power even over the spirit. Legitimate authority is very evident and noticeable. I mentioned that there was a dictator that ruled Congo for 32 years. He was a grand oppressor. He literally raped the country of all its wealth, took it to himself. He didn't even pay his soldiers. He told the soldiers, "Your gun is your salary. You go to the population and you extort from them and extract whatever you want." During the early days when we were working there, it was not uncommon for ladies taking the produce from their gardens to the market and to be held up on the path by soldiers who would take away their food or ask for money. And they'd stop and they'd say, "Where are your papers?" Because he was so oppressive, he required traveling papers to go from one town to the next or even across town. And so they would say, "Where's your traveling papers?" And you'd pull out your papers and you'd show them. And their response would usually be, "I cannot eat that." Which meant, "You better give me something." They were oppressive. They took advantage of people. And we had such a hard time in the early years getting believers to show love to soldiers. He said, "The Lord requires us to give a cup of water in his name into a soldier." And, "Oh, we're not going to even do anything for a soldier." Because the minute you approach a soldier, you're opening the door for him taking everything from you. They were so afraid of soldiers, they didn't even want to see a soldier. But you know, the interesting thing was that when the rebel leader, Joseph Kabila, came with his soldiers, they entered in, and all of a sudden something happened. People recognized an authority. Kabila's soldiers came in, and they started paying for the chickens and the goats. They'd come into a village, they'd say, "Is this your goat? Is this your chicken? May we buy it?" And they'd buy it. And the people had lived through many years of the soldiers of Mobutu coming and saying, "That's your goat, give it to me." And there was this respect for authority. People recognized legitimate authority. And they saw something in Jesus as they contrasted it with the Pharisees and all the religious leaders. There was something genuine there. There is a recognition of true authority. Now, if you would flip back to Matthew chapter 21, and let's look at Jesus' answer. They were asking these three questions: who is he? By what authority? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus gives them an answer. And his answer is given to them by a question in verse 24 of Matthew 21. Jesus answered and said to them, "I will ask you one thing too, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men?" Jesus lays out very plainly that when it comes to the question of authority, the deciding factor is one of two things. Is it from God or is it from men? Those are the only two possibilities. Now, this is a great question because it put these guys in the corner as far as with the recognition of what John the Baptist was doing. And if we read on, we see that they never got their answer because they wouldn't answer him. But we all know that God's authority is in the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. But it brings us to that understanding that there are two sources of authority, either of men or of God. You might say that the kingdom authority of God is the only true authority. There is no other authority. So there's really true authority and non-authority. Those are really the only two options. There's only two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, or the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And Satan rules in the affairs of men, and so things of men are from Satan. The kingdom of Satan, the Bible describes in this way, says that Satan is the god of this world. He has a type of authority. It's a non-authority, but it is a usurping authority. He takes the things of God and tries to mimic them and use them to destroy God's authority. And all those that follow after him do the same thing. It's interesting. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was dealing with this kind of situation. Corinth was a very corrupt city. And there were those kind of usurpers there that were usurping God's authority. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, listen to what he says. He's talking about these people that promote themselves as true authorities, but are not. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is not strange if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." It's not surprising. It's not surprising that false authority mimics true authority and tries to legitimize itself that way. But we know that it is a lawlessness. The young man that went with me to Congo, his name is John Kinlaw. He was a thief for 10 years here in Raleigh. One of the biggest thieves terrorized this town. And God saved him 2.5 years ago, and he has grown by leaps and bounds. And some of you may have heard his testimony. A wonderful situation. But God miraculously worked it out that we could get him off of probation and that he could go with me over to Congo. A week and a half ago, he told me something very interesting. He said, "Jonathan, one of the things I learned about that trip, I had no idea I would learn, was the value of authority and government." He said, "You know, as a thief, I disrespected all authority. To me, it was, why should you work if you can get it for free? These people are crazy that are holding down jobs." He said, "I didn't respect any authority, any law." See, those that don't know God and are not under His authority are a non-authority. They don't respect authority. And Satan is that way. It's lawlessness. It's do whatever you want, when you want, to whoever you want. And here John says, "Wow, I really see the importance of godly authority." And we'll hear about that later as we describe the kingdom of God. But you know, just like these authorities that pretend to be authorities of righteousness, servants of righteousness, and are deceptive, we see it happening today all around us. We see authorities in our land who say they're protecting the rights of free speech when what they're doing is legitimizing pornography and filth. Or when they say they're protecting the rights of the woman. A woman should have rights, and under that language, they're pushing abortion and legitimizing abortion. Or under the guise of saying it's okay to have a different lifestyle and protecting it by law, they're legitimizing an abomination of homosexuality. Satan's authority figures always try to look legitimate when they're not. Satan's authority is to lord it over people as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 20:25, to exercise great authority over people, to dominate, to manipulate, to become intimidators, terrorizers, to control people. That is their tactics. Just recently, there was a case in Washington, D.C. of a law they were trying to push through. A perfect example of how these people try to be legitimate, but they're going contrary to God's ways. They tried to pass a law that said that anybody who protested in front of an abortion clinic and was arrested could never, for the rest of their lives, get out of any financial penalties resulting from their arrest and from any lawsuit that came against them. In other words, if they were taken to court by the abortion clinic and they fined them $1 million, there was no way, as long as they lived, they were going to get out of that. And yet, in our land, if you don't pay alimony, you can get out of it. If you go bankrupt, you can get out of it. If you can rob from a bank, you can get out of it. Here, they're using their authority to go against righteousness. Let's see what Scripture says about the kingdom of God, the true authority. What is its purpose? In 1 Timothy 2:2, it says it is to ensure a peaceful and quiet life. For it says, for kings and all who are in authority are there that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That's what it's there for. Secondly, it's there to punish evil and reward good. 1 Peter 2:13 and following says, be subject to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as set by him to punish. Now here it is, saying, no matter the echelon, here's the purpose of these echelons and these authorities: to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's the purpose. To condemn those that are doing wrong and to praise those that are doing right. And we see the inverse of that going on even in our land today. And that's exactly what Mobutu did in his reign of terror, and most dictators do as well. They punish the righteous and reward the evil. Romans 13:1 brings us to the third one, and that is the continuation of the administration of good. That is the purpose of authority. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. And here it is, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. There's only authority, which comes from God, and there's non-authority. Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror for good conduct, but for bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is a servant of God for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason also you pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Wow, is that clear? There's only really one authority, and that is from God. Any power, potentate, person who does not accept, who does not exercise authority according to God's definition is a usurper, a deceiver, a rebel. You see, when an authority does not do what God is wanting, that is lawlessness. That is anarchy and rebellion. We saw a lot of that in Congo. And I would dare say that a lot of the problems existing in Congo are a result of people allowing that to go on and not standing up. Those leaders and figures in government who do not follow these God-given guidelines are not authorities and no longer ministers of God. And I would dare to venture they are not to be obeyed. To put it this way, if an authority is not doing what God says an authority should do, they are not to be obeyed any more than a supervisor who asks you to do something wrong. If I am working in a warehouse, and the warehouse supervisor comes to me and says, Jonathan, I want you to put that's a stereo deck there. Say this is in a Best Buy store, and says, I want you to put that by the back loading dock. He says, I'm taking that home tonight. Am I to submit to him because he's my boss? No. I believe that at that moment, my authority is superior to his. He has lost his authority, and now I have the authority of the owner of the company who employed me to do right, not to do wrong. And now my authority is superior to his. And I say, no, I'm sorry. That is wrong. You may take the consequences for it, but in that moment, your authority is superior. Jesus came in that kind of way. He came with a superior authority. Yes, they called themselves the authority there in the temple and everywhere else, but he came in as having a superior authority because they were usurpers. We also today must exercise our authority in the societies we live in. Titus 2:14-15 says very clearly, as Timothy is teaching Titus, he says, talking about the Lord, he said, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And that word iniquity can also be translated as lawlessness. And to purify to himself a special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, and here it is, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Rebuke with all authority. We have the right to rebuke and to stand up in every situation and to say, that's not right. John and Loyal and I, the three of us that were on this trip, as we came back from Etende, we had to go through 5 soldier barriers. Going, we didn't have any problems. We had all the military papers, we had church papers, we had all the authorizations to get through these military barriers, and we were on motorcycles and going. We waved our way through. It was no problem. But coming back at the big barrier in Nyangarai, we got stopped. We weren't stopped first, but here's what happened. I was on the lead motorcycle, and as we were coming to this big barrier across the road, and there's always a place for the pedestrians to walk around, I started heading for there, and I waved to the guys, and I said, this is our return, and the way I usually do, to try and minimize contact with them, I said, this is our return, bye, and I started to go through that place where the pedestrians go, and I looked back and saw a man, apparently he was the commander, sitting at a table, and he jumped up, he said, stop, stop, and I kept going, and he grabbed a machine gun and started to whirl around. At that, I just threw on the brakes. But John and Loyal were behind me, and all the other soldiers pulled their guns on them when they saw their commander doing that to me. So I knew I'd have bullets in my back if I kept going, and so I stopped. And he came up to me, and he said, where are your papers? Well, he had a right to ask me for the papers. I showed him the papers, and they were all in order. But he grabbed my hand, and he wouldn't let go of me. And I knew what that meant. This is one of those corrupt soldiers. He didn't want to let go of me until I paid him something. Kept holding my hand, squeezing it. And he got on his radio and he talked to another commander somewhere else, and on it went. Well, to make a long story short, I finally realized this man has no authority to hold me. He had authority to ask these papers, but that's it. I decided to ask him a question, and I turned around and I said, what report would you like me to bring to your commander in Bunia when I get back as to why you have detained me here? He had no answer, and I said, thank you, we are leaving. And I got back on the motorcycle, and we left. Taking charge in a situation where somebody really doesn't have the authority. Then we got to the next barrier, and this little kid, because they have these child soldiers, he thought he wants to see the paper. I gave him the paper, he couldn't even read it. He says, you'll have to wait here as I get the commander. I said, where's the commander? He was back in the village. We'll have to look for a bike to ride back to the village. Whoa. I said, we're really in a hurry to get back to Bunia. I said, can we just, no, you have to wait. Oh, all right. He has the right. So I waited, and I thought, well, turn a bad situation to good. And I started, I used a little evangelistic tool here that I used, and started witnessing, and crowds gathered, and all the soldiers gathered, and all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of my teaching, and all of a sudden, bam! It sounded like a gunshot, and people started to scatter, and soldiers were all looking around with their guns, like, who shot? And all of a sudden, all eyes focused on this bicycle. This little 12-year-old kid, the tire exploded. Right as I'm teaching. And all the soldiers were so nervous, and one soldier went over to beat the kid. Well, at that point, he didn't have the authority to do that. That wasn't a right that he had. My authority superseded his. I rebuked him. I said, leave the kid alone. I said, he didn't plan that. He wasn't trying to do anything bad. I stepped in. The same way we have a right when we see evil to step in and say, it's not right. Take authority there. Take control of the situation. God asks us to do that and not to let lawlessness reign. The whole situation in Congo, I would dare say in Eastern Congo, is a lot because people have tolerated what they shouldn't. For us to tolerate sin would be like, well, I just read this article. It's called The Dirty Hamburger Lawsuit. There's a guy, it just is in the newspaper today, of a fellow who lost his lawsuit, but he went to a Burger King, and he said that there was something on his hamburger that shouldn't have been there. And he even had it analyzed, and it found E. coli fecal matter on it. And I was thinking, you know, so much of what we're being told in our country today is like being handed a hamburger with something on it that doesn't belong there and say, eat it, and if you complain, shut up. We're going to send you to tolerance school. The abominations that we are asked to accept and be tolerant toward in this country are an abomination to God. And we should not be quiet and not just go along with it. Well, it doesn't affect me. I just keep going, you know, don't say anything at work. Might negatively influence my job. We need to speak out. And we need to stand up for what is right. What authority do we have to do that? We have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ if we know Him as Savior and Lord. Jesus said several things. There's seven things I'll just mention quickly. All power is mine. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has all power, all authority. He has authority to forgive sin. He has authority over evil spirits and sickness. He has authority over all power of the enemy. He has authority to judge, and He has authority to cast into hell. And at His authority, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess in front of Him. That is authority. It is a tremendous authority that is for everyone who is saved. This piece of paper represents two different realms. The kingdom of men and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of men is represented by the green squares because it's the earthy people, those that live for this world. Green defining the color of this world. Red, the kingdom of God, because it defines those that are under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only two types of kingdoms and two types of people. You're either under one kingdom or the other in this world. And this sheet of paper kind of represents the whole world and everybody in it. But you can reduce it. And you reduce it to the size of a country. But even in a country, it falls into the two categories, either the one or the other. Or into a state or a city, into a smaller grouping. It's always the one or the other. Or even if you take it down to the family level, it's always the one or the other. When it comes right down to the individual level, it's no different. When you take it down to the lowest possible number, it's always the one or the other, the green or the red. But a day is coming, and soon approaching when God will divide the kingdom. Fortuitous, I have a pair of scissors in my pocket. But the day is coming when God will separate and cut out the kingdom of men from the kingdom of God. And he will separate. He says in his word, he will separate the goats from the sheep. You see, those that are the king of this world will be dealt with individually, one by one, looked at case by case, not on a national basis, not on a state basis, not on a race basis, not on a familial basis, but on an individual basis. God will look at each one and judge their case individually and say, were you of my kingdom or were you of the kingdom of this world? Did you belong to me? Were you under my authority? One by one, everyone. And when he has separated them and cast them into the lake of fire, he will take his and he will keep them all together. And he will take them with him to heaven. As one group being under his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that the Lord came with authority and all authority. That he came with the authority to set things right. We know there's a lot of lawlessness in this world. And yes, Lord, there is a lot of lawlessness in our hearts. The human heart does not want to submit to you, Lord Jesus, and recognize you as the rightful Lord of our lives and of all things. So Lord, this day, as we've talked about your authority, we ask that you'd speak to every heart. Father, that it might start with our being convicted that we need to submit to your authority and recognize you. Because if we don't, we don't belong to your kingdom. We're rebels and usurpers. And you will cast us away from yourself for eternity. Father, I pray for everyone here that has never submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might do it today. And Lord, we pray that each one of us that knows Christ will exercise the authority you've given us to make a difference in our places of work and in our neighborhoods. And everywhere that we go, that we might be an influence for you. We thank you so much for your love for us and that we have no fear because of he who rules us now is not a dictator, but a loving father. We ask thy blessing on thy word. Bless us now as we depart in Jesus.